me tell you one thing that I hate. Boring sermons. And I think God's against them too. In this conversation, we're going to unpack 13 different ways that church leaders are spicing up their sermons, and we're going to give you a rating whether we think they're great or something left to be desired. Let's talk about it. You're listening to the Reach Right Podcast, the show dedicated to helping your church reach more people and grow. Well, hey guys, I'm Thomas.
And I'm Ian.
And today we are ranking sermon strategies. We're going to be diving deep and talking about some of the different things and strategies people use to spice up their sermons. And we're going to give you a ranking for them, whether we do them, whether we wouldn't, or whether it's something maybe you can test the waters on. So we have a whole system. I guess maybe you could share kind of our ranking, our rating system on things, Ian. You want to tell people about that?
Yeah, this should be fun, and I love the names we came up with for the rankings. We have three of them. So the best one would be called Guiding Light, and would be strategies with your sermon that shine brightly and lead people closer to Christ with clarity and impact, if you will. And then we have Green Pasture. So this is kind of, it's solid, but it isn't as standout. You know, it's maybe not rock star, if you will. And then we have still water. As peaceful as that may sound, it's more of stagnant water that we're talking about here with the this kind of strategy with your sermon. So those are the three. And I'm going to interview you, Thomas, if that works. And I'll weigh in and I'll disagree with you if I disagree with one of your thoughts behind this. But it should be fun.
Let's do it. I'm ready. Bring them on.
So first one, these of 13 sermon strategies, the first one is a sermon series.
Okay. Like, so sermon series versus like doing one-off sermons, we mean.
Yeah. So just this being, I guess, your main strategy with sermons. Maybe not just main, but just maybe carrying these out. I mean, I think that any church, if they're doing sermon series, they're mostly a sermon series-led church. So, yeah.
All right. So for this one, I want to say Guiding Light, because it's really like what everybody does, but I'm going to hedge and say Green Pasture on this one. And here's the reason why, is that I think for us as pastors, it's Guiding Light, but to the question of whether, here's what I've realized, is that only leaders care about this. So I think, like, as far as what our actual members think, like, do they, I find that over and over again, your members very rarely care about a series that you're in. Like, if you're in a series or not, it really isn't that important to them. I don't think, we used to think that maybe, like, if you did a series, people would be more likely to come back the next time because they just can't get enough of it. It's almost like they're binge watching on Netflix and we just want to take in the entire series. I don't think that's kind of wishful thinking for most of us. There's maybe some elite preachers out there that are not that way. But for me, I think that it's a good tool for us as pastors when we're writing to help us think more cohesively and kind of take our church in a certain direction.
Yeah.
But as far as actual engagement and things that people have in our church, I don't think they care about it as much as we would like them to. So for that reason, I say Green Pasture, not a Guiding Light. Thoughts?
Ooh, okay. I actually would agree. I was kind of torn between Guiding Light and Green Pasture. And actually, it's probably kind of cool for me to give some feedback because I'm not actively pastoring and preaching regularly right now in this season of my life. I have, of course, and I've pastored with you. But I like, you know, the first thing I thought of where I was kind of disagreeing was I like series because they keep me on track and engaged with with a certain topic's not the right word because I know it's not topical, but yeah, they keep me on track a bit. But I agree. I think it is more important to the pastor and to the preaching team or whoever's preaching it. So no, I would have to agree. I was trying to disagree just because I think
you'll have plenty of chances.
Oh, I know. But the reason I think so is because, again, most churches do this. So that's why we like to think that, it should be Guiding Light. But this next one, I am actually interested to hear what you have to say. Playing movie clips throughout your sermons.
Playing movie clips. For me, this is hot take here, still water. I have no interest anymore in playing movie clips. First of all, it's illegal. You're not even allowed to play movie clips, and you should probably get some kind of a copywriting violation when you do that, unless you have all kinds of copyright hoops you've jumped through. You're not allowed to do that.
Yeah.
But even more to the point, I just this feels something that is so 20 years ago. I remember when it was totally cutting edge. And this is like from the time when we pivoted from like doing transparencies to doing like actual PowerPoints and video screens in our services. That's what made video clips. And I remember it was so cutting edge, and churches would do like Lord of the Rings clips or like Braveheart clips and talk about like just the with passion, something that was going to happen there. I think that that strategy has played out. So for me, Stillwater.
Those movies were 20 years ago too. You're right. So and this is another one where I wanted to disagree. I agree with you. I wanted to disagree because I used to, as you know, one of my favorite series we used to do at my church was Summer at the Movies. And it was a series, but it was a lot of using a certain movies to, you know, express biblical themes and provide scripture references behind those themes and all of those things. So it was fun. I just don't think as relevant now. So I agree. But yeah, they are fun. So, all right, this next one, using a slideshow.
All right. So using a slideshow, I have, so let's talk about what we mean by that. First of all, when we talk about using a slideshow, I don't just mean like having your verses on the background, right? So you put your verses up on the screen, or maybe your 3 points with an underline blank or something like that. A slideshow being like actually using slides, whether they be statistic slides or infographics or photos of people. I'm going to put this one into guiding light, I think. Like, so, and that, all that being said, I don't do this much, right? So it's not something that I'm good at, but I was just at I just was at a fall conference, like a pastor's conference, and I got to hear one of the speakers there doing a sermon, and they were really reliant on a slideshow presentation that was full of stats and photos and all these things. And like, he literally, in like a 45 minute sermon, he probably went through about a probably about 50 or 60, I'd say, about one a minute of different slides, and kept giving us this kind of content in there. And I think in this day and age of people being so content saturated, TikTok world where people are scrolling through a video every 16 seconds, having other engagement points on there, if done well, I think is a guiding light. So if we're talking about slideshow, like just pictures that are irrelevant or just things that are just to have them there, I'd say still waters, but a really well-executed slideshow, I'd put it in guiding light.
You're making it hard for me to disagree because you made the point there that it has to be done well. But I will say this, I think that it'd be more rare for most churches to do this well than not. So yeah, that's my thought on it. So, but well, this next one's interesting, and this is, well, I'll wait for my feedback, but prepping your message alone versus with a group as a pastor, as a preacher.
Yeah. Okay. So this one, I think it depends on the person for this one. It's so hard for me to like rank this. So I've done both. I have done much more alone than I have in a group because I feel like I personally am more effective on my own, hearing from the Lord and doing these things. But I have done it in a group context, which for me personally was a struggle. That being said, I have seen many people thrive in this kind of environment where we have 4 or 5 people around a table, kind of workshopping sermon ideas, topics, and then like getting into some of the points, you know, not down to like the illustration level, but like just kind of like the main themes level. I think in that, I would probably call it green pasture, I would say. So while I'm not, I probably work best on my own. Like, but I think for lots of people, and because it works for so many, I think I put it in the green pasture category.
I would too, just because this is what my pastor does, and he swears by it. And and
I
just
didn't know
how
that. They do group message preparation.
He prepares it, goes over it himself, and then before at least once a week, unless he's changed this to my knowledge, but I know for a while he was doing this, he swore by it, just how effective.
He did what? He prepares it by himself, and then what?
And then he preaches it to a group of other leaders.
Oh, okay, well, we're going to get to that one later. That's different from what I'm talking about here.
Look at me. I was just thinking of that differently. So you mean prepping the message, not delivering
actually
the
writing
message.
It with a group. Say, oh, you know what would be a good point here? You know, let's think about doing this. Or what if we told this story here? So
every once in a while,
it just hasn't worked well for me, but
this.
I think, let us know in the comments if that works well for you. If you do things that way, I'd love to hear about that.
That's good. All right, next one. Seasonal messages.
All right, so seasonal messages, I think there's two seasons. Christmas it makes sense. Right. Like Good Friday Advent. And Easter mm-hmm. and maybe Palm Sunday, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Outside of that, no. I think that's yep. kind of my thoughts on that. I don't think like 4th of July messages at 4th of July, yeah. Thanksgiving season messages. I think it's overkill. Perhaps you can make a case for start of the year season, kind of like yeah. Messages around goal setting and kind of some of those kinds of things as you're starting off with the Lord, a new season, fresh starts. You can maybe make a case for that. So absolutely in those seasons. But if we're talking about, you know, like Valentine's season and groundhog season or, you know, whatever it would be, I don't really know that there's a lot of value in that. So I'm going to go green pasture, I guess, because I think that outside of a couple, it doesn't really make right. a lot of sense for me.
Agreed as well on that one. But this next one should be fun, and I am interested to hear what you say about this one. Using items to illustrate sermon points, or props would be another thing that comes to mind, items.
You know, so I'm torn on this one a bit. I hate keep coming back to this, but for me, it's probably green pastures. And it's kind of like a low green pastures, like it's like a still pasture, if you will, kind of a between still waters and green pastures, or like a, or green waters. I don't know if that's good. That sounds bad, actually. I don't do it personally. I have used, like, just in this last week, I actually brought people up as props. I told a story about a baptism I did once that you were, you know about the story, and yes. actually had people become my baptees as props. But when comes to like actual like props, I've seen it done. I have been blessed by it. There's been other times where it's just kind of, you know, it probably would have been just as good without them.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's not really a thing that I do, or I don't really see a ton of benefit in it. If it's something that you do on occasion, maybe once or twice a year, maybe, but you don't want that to be your shtick. You don't want to be the carrot top of preaching, right? Where you have props all the time and that kind of stuff. So maybe that'd be your thing, Ian. You could be kind of the carrot top of preaching.
It might be, you know, people, some other than my wife, everyone thinks I'm funny. No, I'm kidding. But I actually would say green pastures for the right personality, but I also would say not always, because I think it could just get old and overdone, and then it becomes a distraction. But I will say one of my favorite messages was where, and I remember that, I even remember the title of it, and it was probably a year ago. It was a guest speaker at our church, and it was about how Jesus is the bread of life. Well, he brought a bunch of bread, and he also had water, and this water was relevant because we had a youth ministry or a youth event, and there was a lot of youth that were baptized, and they were all in one big section of the church. And the cool thing is, this guy was a part of that youth event where many teens gave their life to the Lord and were baptized, which was awesome. He actually had water and threw water on that group of youth during the service. And it was just hilarious. And he was very engaging. And then, of course, with the bread, as you can imagine, he was throwing bread to people, even joking about how he knows everyone here wanted to cut carbs. But it was just, it really did tie back to the message of, you know, we know in Scripture, Jesus as the bread of life, living water, all of the stuff that's communicated. But again, green pastures at the right time with the right personality.
Yeah.
You're
convincing me. I'm going to go solid green pastures, because like when you were talking about that, you reminded me of a message that I heard a few years back. Someone teaching about the filling of the Holy Spirit and being baptized with the Holy Spirit. And he had this chocolate milk illustration where he like had this big, like, you know, several gallons of milk in like a glass jar. And he put in chocolate syrup as like a symbol of the Holy Spirit coming upon us, but not being baptized. And it was when you really mix in the chocolate. So I think that it was it made sense. If you think I'm being theologically incorrect, believe me, it was good. I felt like, so
there you go.
I'm not doing it full justice, but the fact that that sticks with me right now, like that I'm sitting here talking about it and remembering it, whereas I can't remember any other of those sermons specifically from that time, that's probably a sign that maybe it is better than I am giving it credit for. So solidly green pasture, maybe like a green light, even if you will, kind of like a upper green pasture.
And on top of that, it just made me think when I said, oh, for the right personality, it might help the dull preacher too, make things more spicy there. So, and I shouldn't say dull pastor. I don't want to say that, but maybe someone who's There you go. So, all right, next one, interactive Q&A sessions during a message.
Well, again, this is a total, like, if you got the skill to do it, then it's awesome.
Yeah.
So I'd say, like, for the right pastor,
right size church, too.
So it'd be hard at your church, right?
Yeah.
Like, there'd be just too many questions and those things. Like, I think for a church under a few hundred people and the right kind of pastor that's able to handle these questions and think on their feet quickly, I think it'd be really great. So I'd say for them, guiding light. That's, you know, while I'm probably not great with props and movie clips and those things, I think for me, like, I'm pretty good at this kind of stuff Q&A wise. Like, for instance, you and I, we do this podcast. You don't know what I'm going to say on any of these. I don't have an exact answer figured out ahead of time on all these. I just, we're able to think on our feet with this kind of stuff. Yeah, I think for the right kind of person, this is a guiding light, I would say. It's there a really solid thing for the right person, right size church. That's my take on it.
I feel like we keep having these, it depends on with these, right? With every one of these. So, but it kind of does. So, all right, this next one, I think I know the, I think I'm going to know your answer here. Sharing a personal story, sharing personal stories.
Yeah. This to me, it's like, sometimes you'll get, people will complain about this surprisingly.
Yeah.
Like they'll talk about these things, like it's not a good thing, but for me, this is a guiding light. This is something that is so important to make a sermon relevant. It helps you to better tell stories and better engage with people. It makes you real as a preacher. People come up to me after sermons and they very rarely come and say, hey, your point about that salvation component of the message and what it takes to that was so good. What they'll remind me of is, oh, that story you told about the time that that kid stole the bike out of the back of your truck and you had to chase him down and scare the snot out of him. That's what they remember, right? And then part of that, as they think about it, they'll be like, and you know what? That is right. There was like, for good. They'll remember the point as they think about it. So to me, like if you're going to hone one skill as a preacher, it's storytelling and telling personal stories or non-personal stories, but just being a good storyteller is really important.
Reminded me one of the first messages I preached to the church you and I pastored at, where I shared the story of how I started a forest fire as a young boy. And this, of course, was not acting Christ-like, and I had a very troubled childhood, but it made for a great personal story that led to the scripture I was teaching through. But here's the thing, too. I think the argument might be that, okay, just stick to scripture, stick to your sermon points and all of that. Just make it about the word. And we get all that. But at the same time, a lot of people get lost in that. A lot of people do need personal stories to relate to that, and where you can talk about the scripture that you live out, right? Yep, your personal story. So anyway, I'm totally with you on guiding light for that one. So, but next one here, using it kind of in the same vein a little bit, using modern analogies or parables.
Yeah. So this one to me, I don't know how to rank it exactly, but this is one step down from personal stories for me.
Yeah.
Jesus spoke in parables. His stories, most of them were not personal stories. The Good Samaritan wasn't something that actually took place. That was a story that he made up, kind of a modern parable. He didn't say, oh, my friend, he's a Samaritan over there, and you couldn't believe what happened to him the other day. So so I think that while it is a good concept, just what Jesus did, I think that to me, it's harder because it's not a lived experience and it has a little less value as opposed to a good, like, personal story that you may have.
Yeah.
But it's still very valuable, I think, at the same time. Yeah. Any story is going to make your message better. So green pastures, I guess, kind of a high green pasture, if I was going to rank it that way.
Agree with that. Yeah, I do. So, but I think, again, a little less than the personal story, but still... I know that's something my pastor does. Even if some people have some amazing stories out there, things that have transpired that God has done that just are very engaging and make people draw closer to the Lord. So, all right, this next one,
Speaking on current events. Okay.
Yeah.
So to me, this is, we're coming out of election season. At our church, we did a series of messages on current events. We did one on Jesus in politics and Jesus in abortion and Jesus in the LGBTQ community, which I think would be kind of classified as hot topics that are current events right now. So that was good. I'm for it. it was, you know, a lot of people thought it was bad because you preach on those things and people don't like it sometimes when you give biblical views on those things. So there were some things, like there's some people that probably left our church over it, and that's okay. Yeah. You know, that's we were okay. We knew that going in. So, but to the question of like, should that be a regular part of your messages as kind of current events? I don't know that like, hey, if you're preaching and say, it reminds me a lot of what happened in Ukraine this week, you know, or that kind of stuff. I don't know that that really works very well. So I think it's used sparingly. I think it's like a green pasture, but I think for the most part, I'd put it at still waters.
Yeah, I think you got to exercise caution on it. And there is, I won't name a name, but there is a pastor I follow on YouTube that I think has gone too far with this. And I think it's, for me, the personal experience and why I'm less engaged with their content now is because it kind of has made it all about that rather than just the word and following Jesus there. So yeah, would agree. So next one, I think I know what you're going to say about this one. Expository preaching.
Guiding light.
Guiding light all the way,
that's
right?
That's it. Yep. Fantastic. I'm for it all the time. Always want to do it. So the first question was about sermon series. This is like, I think is so much more valuable for most churches is teaching through books of the Bible. Yep. It's better for discipleship. It keeps people more engaged. Yep. People feel like they want to come back more in an expository sermon, I feel like, than they do for a, you know, we're in a summer at the movies series or something like that. Yep. It's just something that I think really is, to me, is an easy win for so many churches out there. So teaching through books of the Bible in series format, letting the main point of the passage be the main point of your sermon. It forces you to not avoid any topics of scripture you don't want to talk about. The next message I'm going to be doing, for instance, is about divorce. And so it's something that churches don't generally want to talk about because chances are there's a chunk of people in your church that probably have a divorce that wasn't for a biblical reason. And nobody really wants to talk about those things. But when you preach expository through books of the Bible, you can't avoid it. So for so many reasons, to me, this is absolutely guiding light.
That's all. I completely agree for all of those reasons. And I think it just, so no one can point that you didn't teach the word when you preach this way too. So that no one can point to it was just a topic of your own interests and your own agenda when you can just steer it back to here's what we taught through. It was this book in the Bible. So yeah, that's good. So here's the one I jumped to earlier, practicing in front of a church team first, practicing your sermon.
Wow. Okay, so I have some thoughts on this one. I don't know where I'm going to rank it just yet, but I want to talk it out with you. So you're telling me that your pastor does this, right? He swears by preaching to do you know how big his team is that he preaches to, or I guess?
I don't know that specific number, but I know it's going to be
like
at least a few key leaders, maybe a handful from what I gathered. Yeah.
Cool.
Last time I heard him talking about it. So yes.
All right. So here's a few things that I know. I don't do this. I don't preach it to other people generally. I do know that I've pastored a church that had four services, two on Saturday, two on Sunday. And my second message on Sunday was always my best. The third one was usually pretty good too. I was pretty tired by the fourth one in most cases, but those ones were better having had a few practice runs. So there's definitely value there. Personally, what my approach is I preach to myself exactly as I want to say it on Sunday morning when I do the sermon. So I actually do it right here in this exact studio. A lot of times I'll record myself doing it. And I usually do that one or two times where I'll preach it. And it's so embarrassing. If someone was sitting here watching me, I'd be mortified by it because I'll tell my jokes and I'll laugh at myself and I'll talk and say, oh, what do you think? Oh, and we'll have the audience banter and all those things. If there's any of that, I practice all those things. So that's kind of my little secret with that stuff. But like, as far as the question of doing it with a team, it's something that would feel burdensome to me, I think, but at the same time, it would probably make me better. I think absolutely for younger preachers, if this is your first 50 sermons that you've ever preached, you should seek this out. Like, be able to give these messages to your team, to your pastors. Let's go through that process. I think it's absolutely that. You've done several hundred messages. I think probably you're more comfortable with it. You might be okay getting away from that. But I still think it'd be a healthy habit to try out once in a while. I would not be opposed to doing it, but it would feel like a burden to have to gather people every week, preach to them.
Work with this.
One kind of maybe workaround or this, if you're someone that films your services, I know some of the largest churches in the country, they will film like a video version of it and not have the actual one from Sunday be the one that goes live. And then the pastors, and maybe the team that watches, they can be there for the filming, watch that, and then give feedback based on that. So that's like, it's kind of a workaround. So as far as our rating system, I'd say 50 sermons or less, guiding light, and then 50 sermons or more that you've done in your career, I'd say green pasture. That's kind of where I would put it.
Again, you're making it hard for me to disagree. I did on one and convinced you, but no. And I, the reason I say that is that this, I think it can be hard to manage, and again, just depending upon the pastor and how often and what you're doing there. But I do think that there's a lot of value to it for sure. So agreed. But last but not least, partner preaching, such as, here's one example. It could be different than this, but a husband and wife duo.
Yeah, that's the most common way you'd see it.
Right. Yeah.
It's another one of those, for the right people, it could work. So funny. I did this once with my wife. A couple things first. So I'm not against this because of any kind of women in ministry, theological position or anything like that. I'm not for it, for any of that. I'm just talking about evaluating it from an actual perspective. I'm sure we have people that are on both sides of the spectrum in our audience here on women in ministry and those things. So I'm going to give you an honest reading based on not considering those elements. I did it once with my wife. We were up there together. We were talking about marriage and it did not go well. not because I'm bad or she's bad at preaching, but just because of each other, it was just strange. And it just took we probably could have done it better if we had practiced more and done some of those kinds of things, but it just wasn't something that worked well for us. Yeah. I have the pastors at our church, I'll be executive pastor, our lead pastor and his wife, I think they'd be fantastic at it. And whenever they get up there together, they are really great at this kind of thing and doing banter that way. So now, is it as powerful as just one or the other of them doing their own message? I don't know that I can say that it's better. So for that reason, I'm saying for me personally, it's still water with me and my wife. For people that have the skill and are good at it, I'd say probably green pasture is where I would put it for that.
Yeah, and I think it is agreed, but I think this is something also my pastor does fairly regular, but it usually is during some sort of a marriage series, or if some sort of a marriage event is coming up or something like that, it's relevant there. We hold a big women's conference once a year at my church, and sometimes, even though men don't go to this conference, the pastor's wife, she leads this conference, but the pastor will come in and have questions about it from a goofy man's, point of view, and gets corrected. And it's really engaging and it's really relevant. But again, I think it's and unless you're maybe in the other alternative, I thought, is if you're that church where, and this is, we've run into churches like this, and there's nothing wrong with this, that are, it's a really co-led church, I've worked with a lot of these churches where it's the pastor and his wife that co-pastor, and they are they're kind of the faces of the church, then maybe more of this kind of happens. But again, I agreed with you because I think it's just not, for most churches, it's not something that is maybe relevant or sustainable full time. So
That's good. Yeah. In the non-marriage way, like if it's something like, I really don't like it very much because I think it kind of pulls people in different directions. So if it's not a husband and wife team or something, if it's you know, a youth pastor and a pastor. I did a webinar recently where there were like three other people. We were all doing like 1 minute a piece of kind of things to say. And we were just kind of, we wind up all just competing for our own ideas on stuff. And so it just didn't work out very well. So I think in general, it's we'll go green pastures for good people at it.
Yeah.
And for me and my wife, mostly me, I'll just be the first in case she watches this episode. It was my fault, babe. In that case, it's probably still water. Anything else to add as we wrap up, Ian?
No, Thomas, this has been a fun one though, that's for sure.
Yeah, I love doing these when we get to rank some stuff like this, and hopefully it's been good for you too. I imagine you must disagree with me on some of these things here. So I would ask you, please let me know down in the comments, where am I wrong? Where have you seen different results in your preaching? Or maybe you have a pastor that you love that does one of these things really well. We'd love to hear about it. Disagreement is encouraged. I'll reply to every single comment that's offered on this here. Thanks guys for being a part of the Reach Right family. If you haven't already, hit that subscribe button down below and we'll see you next time.
See ya.